Okay. Morning. Today's daf and babamsias memtes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf as long as zechanish maslipa Gabriela Bashmuel. We are behind. We're in memchesamad aleph. We have a good opportunity to make up some ground. The gemara today is pretty straightforward. Okay. More or less. The Gemara is, we are continuing a major discussion in the Gemara B'Metzia. This is it. This is the main location where we have the debate between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan in terms of how a transaction is finalized. And what we already learned back from the Mishnah is that the transaction is not finalized until the commodity, until the merchandise is actually taken by the buyer. Until that point in time, the transaction is not finalized. Now, as the Mishnah pointed out, and we're going to keep repeating it again today, is that once money is laid down, so at that point in time, there is a commitment, a very serious commitment made between the two parties. And now if there's a retraction from that point in time, so now you are significantly going against your own word, your own commitment. And it's more than just your word. You put money down. So the Mishnah says that you are under the you're going to be under the curse of Misha Para, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, who extracted punishment from the Dur HaMabel, the Dur HaFlaga, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to extract punishment from you from not being able to keep your word. But put that aside, and that is scary, but put that aside. But the halacha is that until the merchandise is taken by the buyer, the sale is not finalized. And then what we really did is that we opened up the hood and we looked underneath, and what we saw is Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, how all this operates on a Torah level. So on a Torah level, so Reish Lakish says Maros Enokonos, that money doesn't acquire. So according to Reish Lakish, that all this operates on a Doraisa level. That when I pay money for an item, the Torah does not recognize that as a transaction. Transaction is not completed until the item is taken. So according to Reish Lakish, what the Mishnah is telling us is just simply a reflection of what the Torah is telling us. This is all operating Minatorah. And then there's Shitas Rav Yochanan. And Shitas Rav Yochanan has said no. That really Minatorah, Maos is Kondos. Really money does acquire. And again, let's keep this in mind. We mentioned this yesterday, but let's repeat this again today. We're not talking about property. Property, money, money does acquire property. Minatorah. Everyone's in agreement. It's coming up next week's Parsha. That's not subject for a discussion. What is subject for a discussion is we're talking about metalkalim. We're talking about movable items. So according to Rav Yochanan, Maos Konos Min HaTorah, that really money does acquire, and really the sale is finalized after the money's been transferred. So then, why, according to Rav Yochanan, is it that there can be a retraction even after the money's been acquired? And why does the Mishnah say that the sale is not finalized after the money's been given? And the answer is, says Rav Yochanan, this is a legislation made by the Chachamim in order to protect the buyer. Once, if he has not yet received the merchandise, so now, and the merchandise is still by the seller, even though he paid for the item, the seller is not going to be that motivated or incentivized to protect the merchandise because it's no longer his, even though it's on his property. And if a fire breaks out, he's not going to do anything to protect it. So therefore, this is a legislation done that was made in order to protect the buyer. Who has the right of retraction prior to the taking of the merchandise? So that we saw was the machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama is of the opinion that both parties, both the seller and the buyer, have the right of retraction, and according to Rabbi Shimon, only the seller has the right of retraction, not the buyer. And we're going to talk more about that later on as well. In the meantime, however, we're in the Gemara, and we're on Mem Chesamad Aleph. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Truth of the matter is that I should have read like a couple more lines yesterday just to finish off the topic. I'll read it now quickly. But basically now, the Gemara is going to cite support for Reish Lakish, both from Pasuk in the Torah and from various Mishnayos that would certainly seem to support Reish Lakish. Again, according to Reish Lakish, the Torah does not recognize money as a means of finalizing a sale. So how do we see in the Torah? So the Torah said, the Gemara said yesterday, it's based on the comparison of the Psukim regarding a person who denies a monetary obligation, where the Torah says that if you're in denial of a monetary obligation, you have an item that belongs to somebody else and you simply deny it and you swear you don't have it, and then you admit that you have it, so you have to bring a special carbon asham, and this is mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayikra. The Gemara noticed that there are a list of denials that are mentioned as part of what the person is saying he does not have. And then the Torah says, and the consequence is, and then the Torah goes through the same list again, minus one of the items that was denied. What was the one thing that was mentioned first but was not repeated once again? Tesumas Yad. Tesumas Yad is a reference to a loan. And that means that if I borrowed money, and then the person, the lender, comes over to me and says, "No," and I say, "I don't have it, sorry." So and even if we identified exactly how I'm paying back, and even if I pointed to an item and I said, "This is the item that I'm going to use in order to pay you back," so the Torah does not mention Tesumas Yad in terms of my requirement to bring a carbon asham. Why doesn't the Torah mention it? So according to Reish Lakish, it makes perfect sense, because the only thing that passed hands between one person and another is money. Money doesn't finalize the sale, and so therefore the item in the Torah never belonged to him. That is why the Torah does not mention it. So the Gemara pointed out yesterday that that's true regarding Tesumas Yad. It's also true regarding Oshek. It's also true regarding wages. Meaning wages, you're paying for a person's service. There's no merchandise. So over there, the Torah mentioned wages as well. So the Gemara noted that that was a difficulty. But in the meantime, however, it is notable. It does make sense that the word Tesumas Yad is mentioned once but not twice, and it's the only thing that's left out. So this would seem to be a nod in favor of Reish Lakish that money by itself doesn't acquire. This is what we saw. This is what we saw yesterday. I just want to just we're just reading the last lines, which I should have read yesterday. So So on Memches Amud Aleph, we're picking it up 2/3 of the way down on the Amud. Hashta de lo ahadre kra. Now that the Torah has not repeated itself regarding Tesumas Yad misayele, so therefore it's a support for Reish Lakish. The Gemara then just finishes up. We're wrapping up this discussion of Tesumas Yad lo ahadre kra v'atanya. The Gemara says, now we do have a brisa, and the brisa says Amar Rabbi Shammai Minayin Litinas Amar Lamala Lamata. How do I know that everything mentioned above also applies below as well? Meaning, what Rabbi Shimon is basically addressing is, how come Tesumas Yad is not repeated? Now his answer is going to be, even though it's not explicitly repeated in the Pesukim, but it's there, and you just have to look a little bit more careful. Dichsiv, O mikol asher yishava alav l'shakar. The Torah says, mikol asher yishava, any oath that a person made, which was a false oath, and a denial of owing money. Ve'amarav nachman, amarav baravua, amarav l'rabos, Tesumas Yad l'yishavon. So the Gemara says, and what's the ribui? Meaning when we're saying kol asher yishava, it's coming to include Tesumas Yad. So basically, based on the price of Rabbi Shimon, yes, even for Tesumas Yad, you're going to be chayv karban asham. So the Gemara finally concedes, you're right, but behejem yelo hajer kra. Correct, but again, we're just going to keep going back to the point of, yes, we darshined it, but the Pesukim themselves do not repeat Tesumas Yad. And again, why didn't it repeat it? A nod to Reish Lakish, because if it's just a transaction of money, that does not finalize a sale. Okay, we move ahead. Mastisa Minala, now we're looking at a Mishnah. And the Mishnah over here is now discussing a case in which a gizbar, a treasurer of the temple, mistakenly gave money of a hektesh and gave it to somebody. And at what point is he going to be mold the hektesh? At what point is he in violation of Mi'ilam? Okay. Just one correction. In this particular case, we don't have to be talking about a gizbar. We could be talking about anyone who has mal shel hektesh, money shel hektesh, and he mistakenly gives it away. Or he used it as payment. So on Mem Chesam and Aleph now, 3/4 of the way down, Masisa Minalan, from where in the mission do I see that money by itself does not finalize the sale? So we learn from the following brisa, Ditanya Nasan Levalan Ma'am. If you give it to the bathhouse attendant, so in other words, and you're giving it to him for schar, you're giving it to him for wages, at that point in time, you're a mol behekdesh. So it's a simple example, meaning that there's a bathhouse attendant, I'm paying him for not product, I'm paying him for services, and the moment I give him the money, so I'm going to be mol behektesh. I now misappropriated temple funds, and therefore I'm subject to the Isser in the Torah of Mi'ila, which parenthetically you have to pay back full, you have to pay back principal value, plus another chomish, plus you have to bring a carbon asham and asham Mi'ila. Anyway, V'amar Rav Dafka Balanu de la Mechash Mashiach, Avamida Achrina de Mechash Mashiach, Lama de Mashiach. And Rav says, you know, the example that's given in that Mishnah in Me'ilah is very specific. Meaning, in order to violate the Isser of Me'ilah, the Mishnah shows the case where you're paying for services and not when you're paying for product. Why? Because if you're paying for merchandise, you don't violate Me'ilah until you take the merchandise and you bring it into your possession. Meaning, because in order to successfully violate Me'ilah, you have to misappropriate. Misappropriation means that you have to misspend the money. If I'm buying merchandise, if I'm buying product, even though I handed the money, the sale's not finalized. I wasn't Mo'al Behekdesh until I take product and I bring it to me. There's a reason why the Mishnah chose the case of paying for services, because there, simply by giving the money, Me'ilah has been accomplished. This is a proof from the Mishnah, and again, a nod to Reish Lakish, that money by itself, money for product, money for merchandise, is not finalized until the merchandise is taken. V'hatanya, now the Gemara says, now I will show you another braisa. Nasal esapar ma'al. Now if I give the money to a barber, so I am all behekdesh. Now, v'sapara by lememshech tasparas. Now, it's interesting. Now, when it comes to the barber, the Gemara makes the following assumption. I don't fully understand the assumption, but I'm just explaining what the Gemara's thought process is. Then, when it comes to the barber, you have to take the scissors in order to concretize the agreement that you're making with the barber. It's almost as if, again, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this idea, it's almost as if you're renting the scissors, so to say. So even though the barber is also services, it's not goods, but the assumption is that when you're paying the barber, you're, so to say, you're kind of like renting the scissors, and so therefore you're not violating Me'ilah until you take the actual scissors. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so the Braisa says that I am in violation of Me'ilah the moment I hand the money over to the barber. To which the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. According to Reish Lakish, that's not true. This is not money for services. This is money for goods. And again, the assumption the Gemara is making now is that you have to take the scissors. So the Gemara says, "Hachem amai skin b'sapar nachri d'lav bar mashiachahu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but you know what? This price is not a challenge to Reish Lakish, but we could be talking about where the barber is not Jewish. And if the barber is not Jewish, so for him, you don't need to do mashiacha. In other words." I don't think we explicitly stated this, but now is a good time to say it. That when there's a difference between Kenyanim, between Jew and Jew, and Jew versus non-Jew. When it comes to Jew, according to Reish Lakish, you have to do Mashiach. Money by itself does not acquire. But when it comes to Jew to non-Jew, money by itself acquires. Why? Why would Reish Lakish make that distinction? So I don't have a svara, I don't have a good argument, but it's based on the Pesukim. The Torah says, O kano miyad amitecha. The Torah says that you acquired from one of your landsmen, from a member of the tribe. So there, the Torah, according to Reish Lakish, explicitly states that when it comes to buying merchandise, the taking of the merchandise finalizes the sale. But when you're buying from a non-Jew, money by itself acquires. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that could very well be that the case of the Braisa here is dealing with is when I handed the money to a non-Jew. And money by itself acquires when it comes to a non-Jew. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, this is a very good pshat. Why? Because look at the following. Nasa l'sapar l'sapan. The Braisa says that if I give the money to a barber, I have not violated Me'ilah until I take the scissors. So Kashina Adadi. Now, obviously this Braisa goes against the previous Braisa. The previous Braisa says that the moment I pay for the haircut, so I'm chayiv in Me'ilah. This Braisa says not until I take the scissors. So Elalav Shmamina, Kambisapar Nachri, Kambisapar Yisrael Shmamina. So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously now that we understand that there's a difference according to Reish Lakish between Jew to Jew versus Jew to non-Jew, so that's a very simple way to resolve the two Braisas. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman. We're on the very bottom of Mem Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now is going to bring a support to Rav Yochanan. Support meaning another Amora. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman Dvar Torah Maos Konos. Rav Nachman is also of the opinion that money by itself, min HaTorah, is going to acquire. And again, Rav Nachman, like Rav Yochanan, will say that the only reason why it doesn't finalize the sale is because it's a means of protecting the buyer. And Levi went and looked throughout Mishnayos, and he found it. He found a Mishnah that supports his viewpoint that, like Rav Nachman, like Rav Yochanan, that money by itself does in fact acquire. It's based on the following Mishnah. Dvar Torah Maos Konos. I'm sorry. Ubatka Levi Masis of Ashkach Nasan Lesiton Maal. Again, we're talking about somebody who by accident takes his hektish money and uses it and misappropriates it. And he gives it to a Sitone. Now, what is a Sitone? Look at the Rashi, two Rashis from the bottom of the Amud HaMemchas Amud Aleph, and Rashi writes, Siton chenvani gadol umocher peros harbe lechenvanim aniyim. So basically, we're talking about the wholesaler and the retailer. The wholesaler, right, he has the factory, he is he's selling a lot. And what you have now is you have the small retailers who are coming in and buying little bits at a time. But when they come in, they contract that they're going to buy a lot, but again, they just simply don't have the cash flow where they can come in and buy. They don't have the cash flow. They don't have the store space. They're not going to be taking a lot at one time. They're going to be taking bit by bit, and they're going to be basically paying as they take. So even though the original contract had it that they're going to be buying a lot of goods, but the understanding the business relationship is such that there's a simple understanding that I'll come in, I'll take, I'll pay, I'll take, I'll pay, a little bit at a time. Vinosan and Rashi goes and describes basically this kind of relationship. Siton chenvani gadol mocher peres harbel and chenvani maniyim. Vinosan lamas al yad al yad. You're basically paying a little bit at a time. Kishayim mochrim uvetchilas akniya nosan eravon damim muatim alakol. And because there's an agreement, there's a binding agreement that they're contracting to buy a lot, but he says, again, doesn't have the money, doesn't have the store space. So, but what I'll do, however, is I'll lay down a deposit, and that deposit I laid down at the very beginning, even though it's minimal, it's going to basically reflect that we are in agreement that I'm going to be buying X amount of goods. So now, what the Mishnah is telling us is that if that deposit came in the form of hektish money, and the retailer by accident took the hektish money and gave it to the wholesaler and handed it to him as a deposit, he was moel behektish. And the last Rashi points out, afagav de lamasha kol aperos shari harbe posekim al bevasachas. Now there was an original contract that we were going to buy, and all I did was place down a down payment. And even though I wasn't moshech yet on all the peros, nevertheless, by handing the money, we have now finalized the sale, concretized the sale, and therefore the retailer is mol behektish. This Mishnah certainly seems to reflect the opinion of Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman that money by itself does acquire, hence I am mol behektish. So, El Akasha L'Reish Lakish, on the top of Memchas Amud Beis, now the Gemara points out, okay, good. Now that we found a Mishnah that is going to support Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, so now you're Reish Lakish, and what are you going to do? Because remember, according to Reish Lakish, the Torah does not recognize the sale of, the finalizing of a sale of product of merchandise with money by itself. So, Amalekha Reish Lakish, Hamani Rabbi Shimon He. So, Reish Lakish will say, look, I'm in a corner. The Mishnah is certainly against my position, but remember that in our Mishnah we had two positions. We had the position of the Tanakhama, we had the position of Rabbi Shimon. And you'll also remember that according to Reish Lakish, he will easily concede that Rabbi Shimon does not agree with him. But the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon. And remember, the Gemara said a couple days ago that according to Reish Lakish, his argument with Rav Yochanan is really the same argument in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, where Reish Lakish sides with the Chachamim and Rav Yochanan sides with Rabbi Shimon. So, okay, so you did find a Mishnah that goes against me. I'll just simply say that Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Ava Amr Misha Para. Okay, now, you put money down, said the Mishnah, and you are going to get, you put money down for a sale, and you didn't take the item yet, so the sale's not been finalized. We learned that in the Mishnah. Yet, if you retract, if you renege, so you're subject to a curse. The Gemara now is going to be a little bit more specific in terms of how exactly the curse is implemented. Itmar Abaye Amar Odiam Odianle. So Abaye says, we inform the buyer, he gave, or the seller, meaning both of them can renege, subject to the curse. Rava says it's just informative. Sorry. Abaye says it's simply informative, meaning we don't actually curse the person, we just simply inform. If either one of you renege on this deal after money's been transferred, so you know that there is a curse out there. But we're not the ones actually cursing. Rava Amar Milei Laitinalei. And Rava says, no, you actually curse the person if he wants to renege after the money's been transferred. So Abaye Amar Odim Adin Lei Dechsev Nasi Bam Chalo Saor. So Abaye says, yeah, of course I'm right. Of course this is only informative. We don't actually curse a person. In fact, the Torah says, you're not allowed to curse another person. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar Milei Laitina Lei Dechsev Amcha and Rava will say in defense, yeah, we're not allowed to curse another person when he is when he's compliant, when he's on the derech. But if a person is violating the Torah, notably, now over here it is a little bit tricky in order to explain how exactly he's violating the Torah, especially if you're Reish Lakish, which means that the Torah does not recognize the sale being final until the money is being transferred, but still. And later on, we're going to cite psukim that indicate that even if it's a verbal commitment, it's not right, and I say this meaning min haTorah, it's not right to back out of a commitment. And here, compounded by the fact that you gave money, it's simply not right. And now you have a person who wants to renege, and yes, there's a general prohibition in the Torah that you're not allowed to curse another Jew, but over here, he's backing out. So, generally speaking, you're not allowed to curse another Jew, but over here, he is backing out. So Rava says, look, let me try to prove my point with the following anecdote. You see, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef was given money for salt, meaning he was selling salt, and somebody wanted to buy it from him, and so he laid down a down payment. L'sofi yakar milcha. And what happened was that the salt went up in price. So now Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is thinking, you know, it would be financially beneficial to me if, you know, I could just back out of the sale. And so, in other words, the price of salt went up, meaning I have now an opportunity to profit if I could just simply back out of the sale. So, also the comment to Rav Yochanan, Amar Lei Zil Havlehu. So he goes to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, no, what? No, you made a commitment. Not only that, he gave you money, so you got to give it to him. So ve'ilo kabalach mishapara. And if you don't give him the salt and you try to renege and you try to back out of the deal, you're going to be subject to mishapara. So now, so Rava now is making his argument. And his argument goes like this. If all this is just informative, so you don't think Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef bar Yidui Yehu, you don't think Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef knew about this? Meaning he's an Amora. Meaning he knows the Mishnayos. He knows he's subject to a curse. So if all this is just simply informative, what are we informing him? Something that he already knows. So the Gemara says, Velamai, Milei Laitinalei. So the Gemara says, let's go over the other option, which is, okay, let's say we're going to curse him. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Asa Lekbul, Ala, Latusa, Derabanan. Do you think that Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef would do something that would warrant him to be cursed? Meaning, if he knows it's wrong, and he knows you're going to get cursed, so, and you actually curse the person, do you think he would behave in such a manner? So, Ela Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Eravon Hu Di Avilei. So, and the truth of the matter is, when I presented the case originally, I gave it away. But, that's fine. And that is that the question was not just a simple question of whether he wanted to renege or not to renege. Once the money's given to him, you're not allowed to renege. Meaning, well, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. You're subject to a curse if you do. And that's not the case over here. The case over here is where he gave, where what was given to him was a down payment for the salt. Who suffered kenegdu kone? So he thought as follows. He thought, okay, you know what? The buyer didn't buy all of it from me. Well, he did, but he only gave a down payment. So I thought, meaning this was what he asked Rav Yochanan, I only need to give him salt commensurate to the amount of money that was given to him. That's what he thought. And he thought that as far as the balance is concerned, so he can back out of the balance considering the fact that he was not paid in full, he was only given a partial payment. And even though that partial payment does represent a down payment, but he thought he could back out from the balance of the from the contracted agreement. That's what he thought. And the Gemara says, "Vamalei Rav Yochanan kenegad kula okoneh." And Rav Yochanan says, no. When he gave you a down payment, that down payment was a reflection of a contractual agreement for the entire sale. And even though he did not pay for all of it, nevertheless, he did hand you a down payment, and that does reflect now a contracted agreement for the entire sale. And if you renege on any part of it, both the part that was paid and even the unpaid part, you are going to be subject to the curse of Mishapara. And this brings us now to a great discussion in the Gemara and Itmar, or the Girsa. The other Girsa is Vi'itmar, a Ravon. When you make a down payment for an item, so is this considered now a contracted sale for just the down payment portion, or is this considered a contracted sale for the entire portion? Rav Amar Kenegu Kona, Rav Yochanan Amar Kenegu Kula Kona, and this is a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Now we already know Rav Yochanan's position because it was just laid out a couple of moments ago in the Gemara. Rav Yochanan says that when you put down a down payment, that is now a contracted agreement for the entire product, and you cannot, just like you can't renege on the part that was paid for, you also cannot renege on the part that was unpaid for. Masha Enkein, according to Rav, Rav disagrees. Rav says no, that you are only committing yourself to the portion that was paid for. You are not necessarily committing yourself to the portion that's unpaid for. Meisve, and to which now the Gemara is going to ask. So we have a contractual agreement between two parties, where one party laid down a down payment for the item, and he says, look, if I retract my down payment will be forgiven. And the other one says, well, if I retract, I'm going to double the down payment that I gave you. Now, Niskaimo Atanayim, now such a agreement is binding. Now, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Div Rav Yossi, this is Rav Yossi's position. And before the Gemara quotes any more of the Braisa, the Gemara quickly interjects, Rav Yossi, Latam Adama Smachta Kanya. Now, this is Rav Yossi's position, which is a very interesting one. Consider the fact that one of the parties say that, look, if I retract, not only am I going to forgive the down payment, but I'll actually double down on the down payment. Meaning, I'll give you the down payment and a second helping of the down payment as well. Okay. This is exaggerated speech. Meaning, if we back out of a deal, why in the world would I give you, would I, A, let you keep the down payment, and B, would I then pay you a second time of the down payment? It's hyperbole. It's exaggerated speech. It's what the Gemara classically refers to as an asmachta. And generally speaking, we say throughout Shas, asmachta lo kanya. Same. It's not the same word, but it's the same basic idea. And generally speaking, when a person is speaking with such exaggeration and such hyperbole, it is not binding. And there are countless of examples of that throughout the Gemara. And it's interesting, Rav Yossi's of the opinion, and we don't paskin like this, but Rav Yossi's of the opinion that asmachta is kona. Okay, like the Gemara can't help itself. Like the Gemara, right in the middle of the Braisa, the Gemara says, you know, this is Rav Yossi saying this because he holds that asmachta is kona. It says almost if the Gemara is saying, and that's something we hold of.
If it's not specified, what is the time period? What is the difference?
Could be. Right now, we're just the Gemara is arriving at the following point. Well, let's go on in the Braisa. You'll see. Rav Yehuda Omer Daishik Nekeneged Erevono. And Rav Yehuda says, look, if you're putting down a down payment for some sort of transaction, so what is assumed is that you yourself are going to at least acquire that which is commensurate to the down payment. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, v'amed v'ar mamor in bezman shamalor evin yikon, ava marchalo bayis osada be'elev zuz uparla mehem chamesh meo zuz kana umachzir lo es hashar afilo la'achar kamashanim. And then the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and that is as follows. If we say that yikon, I'm sorry, ervoni yikon, that my down payment should serve as a should serve as payment, so then Rav Shimon Gimel will agree. However, if we're talking about the sale of property, a house or a field, and the property is worth 1,000 zuz, and you put down a down payment of 500 zuz, so that creates a full kinyan, and you just simply have to pay off the balance, and it could be many years later. But in other words, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, when you're buying property and you put down a down payment, that serves as a way of acquiring the entire property. So, my love, who didn't limit talim b'distama kani lahu lekulu. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Now clearly, this price is talking about the sale of property. And we are discussing now the down payment that's put down for property. And again, there are three opinions on the Braisa: Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Yossi, first of all, says that even in the case of hyperbole, it's kona, it acquires. The sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is that no, you only pay commensurate to, the only acquisition is commensurate to the down payment. And then there's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which says that no, that when you're buying property, so the down payment will serve as a means of acquiring everything. And the Gemara goes on to explain. We are talking about property. Can we assume that the same thing is going to be true regarding metaltolin? So my love, who adin metaltolin, but the stama kani lahu lekulu. Lo, metaltolin b'stama lo kani. So the Gemara says, no, let's not make that assumption. Umayshna karka de bekas b'kani le mamish kani le lekulu. Metaltolin de lo kani ale lekabule mishapar lo kani le kule. So the Gemara says, and the distinction is very simple. The distinction is that when you're talking about property, money acquires property, meaning the same distinction that we made since the beginning of the Perek, that money, the Torah recognizes money as a means of acquiring property. So when I'm paying for property and I don't put down the full amount, and I'm paying down a down payment, so then the rest is still going to be acquired, because that's how the Torah acknowledges the purchase of property. But when we come to the purchasing of metaltolin, money doesn't acquire. Now again, according to Reish Lakish, min haTorah. According to Rav Yochanan, midrabanan. But either way, money doesn't acquire. The only way to acquire is through Mashiach. What does money do? It binds us to the agreement that we are going to transact. And if either one of us renege, we're subject to the curse. But that's all money does. Money doesn't actually create the acquisition. So therefore, you can make an easy distinction that a down payment for property works for the entire property. Down payment for movables may not necessarily work.
For the entire property, if you start using it?
It's yours, meaning once you put down a down payment, so the property belongs to you.
So what about, you can start using it and not pay the rest until later?
You have an obligation to pay the rest.
So it's an obligation, but you can pay little by little, but meanwhile the food, whatever is of the land.
I mean, what probably they'll come to terms in terms of when, you know.
So is that important,
but
to the time? It's not difficult. No, I it's a lot of benefit to you. You can get the down payment 20% and then pay the rest 50 years later.
That's right. That's right. I mean, okay. Okay, fine. Okay. So, Lema Kid tonight. The Gemara says, Amavas Chaver Lamashkim Nichnasa Hashmita. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to suggest that this is subject to Machlokis tonight. So, we are in the middle of a Machlokis between Rav and Rav Yochanan, whether or not, if I were to pay a down payment on, not property, as we already discussed, property may be different. fact, the Gemara said it is different, but we're talking now about laying down a down payment for an item, a movable item, and whether or not that is going to finalize the sale for the entire item or not. So we have a machlokes in Rav and Rav Yochanan. We know Shitas Rav Yochanan is that when you pay for an item, and even though you make only a partial payment, you have acquired the entire item. We saw that together when Rav Yochanan ruled in favor of the buyer who bought the salt from Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. And now the Gemara is going to suggest that all this is subject to a machlokes atanayim. Now, mind you, the machlokes atanayim that we're about to see is not really about the buying of movables, it's really about a loan. What the Gemara is thinking in its presentation right now is that when you are lending money and collateral is used against that loan, so then it's pretty much the same. I understand it's not, but this is what the Gemara is thinking right now. It's pretty much the same as buying an item. And well, let's see this inside. So let's say I lend money and collateral is swapped. So then I have now a security to know that if I don't get paid, I'm holding the actual collateral in my hand. Now, we're talking about a mashkan, which means that we're not just simply designating an item as security for the loan. I'm actually holding the item as security. And now, now, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even if the collateral is not valued against the entire loan amount, nevertheless, the loan has not been canceled. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, all may my Yamashkin, connected Alva, in Mashami, Vim Lav Mashami. Now Rabbi Yehuda Anasi disagrees, and he says no, that if the Mashkin is commensurate to the entire loan amount, so then the loan doesn't get canceled. But if not, meaning if the Mashkin is less than the loan amount, so the loan commensurate to the collateral is not going to get canceled. But anything above that is going to be canceled. Now, Mayina Mashami Tikam Rashim and Gamliel. Let's think about the opinion of Rashim Gamliel, who says it's not canceled. So, do you think Rashim and Gamliel is talking about the portion that is commensurate to the collateral? Can't be. Because then Rav Yehuda Nasi is arguing, is saying, well, you know, even that portion, that gets canceled as well. What? That's hard to imagine. Meaning, I'm holding a collateral, even though it's not worth the total loan amount, you're telling me that the loan, at least the portion that's commensurate to the collateral, is not going to be canceled? That's hard to imagine. So, Ela Mashkan Denakit, Elamaleh. Why are you holding collateral? The reason why you're holding collateral is because Shemitah will cancel, but only unsecured loans. Over here, this is a secured loan. I'm holding a collateral for the loan. So the Gemara says, and why do you think I'm holding it? Obviously, because I don't want Shemitah to cancel it. So, So when Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's not canceled, what's not canceled? Not the portion that is commensurate to the collateral, but even the loan amount that is unsecured. Even that's not going to be canceled as well. And once we've said that, Umay Mishamit Kamar of Yuna Nasi, Lachvada Delo Nakid Allah Mashkon. And when Rav Yehuda Anasi says that the loan amount is canceled, he's talking about the unsecured portion of the loan amount. Uva Hakamiflagi. And now that we think we know what the correct shot in that Mishnah is, now the Gemara says, let's explain. What are they arguing about? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Derabishim and Gamliel Safa Kenegu Kula Hukone, Rav Yehuda Anasi Safa Kenegu Hukone. And the Gemara says, and this is exactly the debate. It's the same debate of Rav and Rav Yochanan, where Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to take the position that even though the collateral doesn't reflect the loan amount, and even though the loan amount is greater than the collateral, but nevertheless, that collateral is going to be security for the entire loan amount. Just like when I put down a down payment for an item, I acquire the entire item. That's what the Gemara is thinking. And according to Rav Yehuda Anasi, no. The only thing the collateral is going to secure is only going to be the loan amount commensurate to the collateral. Anything above that is not going to be covered by the collateral. Just like when I put the down payment down for an item, I only acquire the portion that is valued at the down payment. This is what the Gemara is thinking right now, and these are the two debates line up. And the Gemara flatly rejects the entire discussion. Lo. Mechlal de Rav Yehuda Anasi Sefer Lach Palgad Nakid Alam Mashkon Nami Mishamet. So the Gemara says that we totally misunderstood the entire debate between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yehuda. And the truth be told is that when Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Shemitah is not Mishame, it doesn't cancel, what Rav Shimon Gamliel means is that it doesn't cancel only the portion of the loan that is valued at the collateral. Meaning only the secured portion of the loan. The unsecured portion of the loan gets canceled. And now think about it, because now what that means is that according to Rav Yehuda Nasi, the entire loan gets canceled, even the portion that is valued at the collateral, even the secured portion of the loan. So which the Gemara says, what? Elamashkam denakit lamalei. So then, why am I holding the collateral? The Gemara gives a fascinating answer. Lezichron dvarim ba'alma. So the only reason why I'm holding on to the collateral is just simply as a reminder. Right? Let's remind each other, I borrowed money from you. And the good way to remember is that I'm holding something of yours. But it doesn't actually, it's not there to secure the loan. Now, even though that's, generally speaking, not how we view collateral, but over here in defense of the Gemara, one can easily make the argument that, look, this is not your classic collateral. Why? Because if I'm taking a collateral, what would I normally take in order to secure a loan? Something that is at least as valuable as the loan itself. Then we could say that is that item that I took is there to secure the loan. Over here, I'm taking an item that doesn't reflect the value of the loan. So then, zichron dvarim ba'alma. Maybe then, as the Gemara just argued, this is just simply a reminder that I'm owed the money, but it doesn't really reflect a true security of the loan. Anyway, and basically what the Gemara is saying now is that let's not compare the case of a collateral against a loan versus a down payment for the sale of an item. Gemara tells a couple more stories. Rav Kahana Yavalei Zuzei Akisna. A similar story that we saw earlier today, but the person and the item being sold are different. So Rav Kahana was given money as a down payment for flax. Lesof iyakar kisna. Price of flax went up, and once again, like any one of us, Rav Kahana was motivated now to renege on the sale because he stands now to profit. Also, the kama derav amalei b'may din kitas zuzei hav luhu v'idach dvarim nenu v'dvarim ein by mishum mechusrei amana. Now, Rav Kahana goes to Rav, which makes perfect sense because, as we learned back at the end of Masechta Baba Kama, Rav Kahana was a student of Rav, and he said to Rav, "What do I do?" And Rav says, "Look, as far as the sale is concerned, whatever he gave you as money for the down payment, so that now is a contracted sale. You are bound to give him that amount. If you don't, you're subject to the curse we mentioned back in the Mishnah. Anything beyond that are just dvarim ba'alma. That's a verbal commitment, and that's something, and backing out of a verbal commitment, ein b'hem mishum mechusrei amana. It's not considered a lack of faith if you back out of a verbal commitment. De'idmar dvarim rav amar ein b'hem mishum mechusrei amana, rav yochanan amar yesh b'hem mechusrei amana. And brings us to the next point, which is, what if no money was given, but you did make a verbal commitment? Is that considered something which is mechusrei amana? Are you considered a lack of faith? Is that considered a lack of faith by backing out of a verbal commitment? Rav says no, it's not a problem, and Rav Yochanan says yes, it's a problem. Meisvei, to which now the Gemara is going to challenge based on the following. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Matom, Alamre, Hin, Sedek. So the Torah says at the end of Parshas Kedoshim the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, that when you deal in business, you have to deal faithfully. You have to make sure that your weights and measurements are correct. So v'alo hin b'chlal eifa hayam, and the Torah already tells us that the eifa, which is an amount, has to be a fair weight and measurement. So why does the Torah then also have to talk about the hin, which is just another measurement? So the Gemara says, "Ela lamalcha sheyeh hin shelcha tzedek, velav shelcha tzedek." What the Torah is intimating to us is that the Torah is not only telling us that the weights have to be fair, but your hin, when you say yes, you have to bind by that verbal agreement that you made. And when you say no, your no also has to be no as well. So, Amar Abai Hahu Shalo um, I'm sorry. Amar Abai Hahu Shelo Yidaber Echa BePeh VeEcha BaLev, and that means that you're not allowed to be duplicitous. That when you are making an agreement and you say yes or yes has to be a yes, and your no has to be a no. But you cannot think in your head yes and at the same time say no. So. So basically what Abai is doing now is Abai is defending Rav, meaning that look, according to Rav, if you back out of your verbal agreement, so Rav says you're not mechusrei amana, and that's what he said to Rav Kahana, meaning Rav Kahana was paid a down payment down for flax, the price went up, so Rav says to him, for the part that that you actually receive money, so that you have to give, the part that you didn't receive money for, that you can keep, you verbally agreed, so Rav says it's okay, you can back out of it. The Gemara says, I don't understand, we just learned based on the pasuk in the Torah that when you say yes, you got to hold to your word, when you say no, you got to hold to your word. Abai's response is no. What the Torah means is that when you say yes, you can't think at the time no, but I'll say yes. And when you say no, you can't think at the time yes, but I'll say no. That's what the Torah is prohibiting. But over here, when Rav Kahana made the verbal agreement, the price was X. At a later point in time, the price was Y. Had he known that at the time, he wouldn't have agreed. So this is not being duplicitous. This is just simply changing market. I think everyone understands. Had I known about it, I wouldn't have said yes. That's not being duplicitous. That's just simply responding to the changing markets. That's how Rav would understand the pasuk in the Torah. Mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Pi Shar Mutalis Kona Dinar Zahavin, Dinar Zahav Kona Talis, Mikol Makom Kach Halacha Av Amr Misha Par Miyanshe Dora Mabel, O Miyanshe Dora Flagu Hu Asli Par Miyanshe Eino Omed Bidiburo. The Braisa says that if you don't stand by your word, you're also going to be subject to a curse. So the Braisa over here clearly indicates that once you make a verbal commitment, it's binding, and you have to keep it. So the Gemara says, Tanahi. So the Gemara says, you're right, that Braisa certainly does seem to support Rav Yochanan, that you have to honor your verbal commitments, but we also, the Gemara is going to point out, it's also subject to a machlokas. So there's a story with Rav Yochanan ben Masya who told his son, look, we have a job to do, go hire workers. So part of their employment agreement is that they were going to get lunch. And then when the son went back to the father to report how he contracted with the workers and what was included in the employment contract, so dad blew up. Amrlam Bini, Afilo Ata Osalam Kisuda Shlomo Bishato La Yasa Yide Chavazcha. Lunch, remember, these are, I know this is going to sound funny, these are Jewish people. I know. And even if we were to put out a spread for them, that would be good for Shlomo HaMelech. We still haven't fulfilled our obligation. So Shehein B'nei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, meaning they are deserving of a significant meal. And when you have an open-ended clause in the contract of employment, and you said lunch, that's all you said, there's not enough food. No, we won't be able to fulfill our end of the bargain. When you make these kind of contractual agreements, you have to be extraordinarily specific. Otherwise, we are going to be in the wrong. Specify. You know what lunch means? A sandwich. That's all you're getting. You're getting a sandwich. But that you have to say that, otherwise we're going to be in the wrong. So now, so the Gemara says, now, the son did make a verbal commitment. And dad says to them, you're going to go over there and you're going to back out of the verbal commitment. Clearly, well, I say clearly now because this is what the Gemara is thinking. Clearly, you can back out of a verbal commitment. That's what just happened in the story over here. So the Gemara now is arguing that it's a machlokas tanaim, whether you can or cannot back out of a verbal commitment. So the Gemara says, no, shani asum de po'alim gufayu, lo samchei daitaihu. So the Gemara says, no, this is not considered backing out of a verbal commitment. I'll tell you why. Because they knew they were negotiating with the son. They knew that they weren't talking to the real employer. Forgive me for saying that, but
the son was in a shliach. Like, what's the difference?
You'll see. So my time, I made the other dalavu samach. They understood that the son was there, but so was dad, and there was no real smichas das. There was no real commitment on both parties. that lunch meant lunch. So so the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so why did that say, make sure to rework out the contract before they start working? What do you mean? If they knew that the son was not the boss, and they knew that the son wasn't really in charge, so then, even if they started working, can't you rework the details? So the Gemara says, no. He tchilu b'mlacha v'andisemcha daitayu amra meimra amra kamidavu v'nichalei. So the assumption says, the Gemara is that once they start working, we're going to assume that the son passed the information back to the father. Father agreed to those terms. And so once they start working, so then they're going to be committed. Okay, a lot of information over the course of this morning. Question that we've concluded. The issue that we concluded was whether or not Maus Konus Midaraisa or not. Machlokis Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. We learned that Rav Nachman also is in support of Rav Yochanan's position. Question of whether or not a down payment is going to create a kinyan on the entire product. By land, it does buy the entire land. By product, it doesn't purchase the entire product. Or I should say better, it's a machlokis between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And we saw a number of incidents in the Gemara where Rav Yochanan says it does buy the entire product, and Rav says no, it does not. If you make a verbal commitment, do you have to keep your verbal commitment? That too is a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara says it also may be reflective of a machlokas Tanaim as well.